Welcome to Wombat Radio. The following discussion is between myself and Amy Smith following her presentation of her work Borderline at the State Theatre Centre in Perth.
I was thinking on the way here about dancing.
Really? It's
profound, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, but I was thinking because I'm making a work, I'm watching them dance a lot. So the night before last, I really wanted to dance.
Yeah.
And the social construct of where I can go and dance is at a club.
Yeah.
If I'm not being the dancer in the studio. And so some of us ended up at the Court because the gay clubs always have the best dancing vibes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I was just thinking about that on the way here. I was wondering if you go out to the club.
Yeah, I do. I mean, a lot to do with because Ben's a DJ and my partner, and
yeah.
And so we have a friendship group that goes out to clubs, and I sort of sit. I'm not like in the music world like they are, but I go out when I have the energy or the desire.
And you've got the dance welling up inside.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly.
Spew onto the floor.
Yeah, but I can't just go to a club and dance because I feel like I have like it's all a lot about the music for me at a club. Like if the music's great, I could dance all night.
Yeah.
And if it's crap, I'm home in
You're
bed
like, I'm
by
out.
Midnight.
Yeah, tapping out. That was our experience as well. We got there and there was a whole the inside dance floor was things from like current top 40 pop or no, I guess like gangster pop that you'd play through subwoofers in a car as you cruise to like old school, like Ride My Pony and Ludacris and things like that. And so exactly what you said. I was like, okay, I'm here all night.
Yeah.
I'm sorted.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, the DJ ran out of steam. And about an hour later, all the music started getting less like in the torso and in the pelvis and that kind of dancing and all kind of up in the top of the shoulders. And,
totally.
I felt like I was committed.
Yeah.
But it was not so good.
Yeah.
What was the... Is it... What kind of music do you need to dance to?
It's a similar vibe, I imagine. Like, Needs to feel it.
Yeah.
In the loins.
In the loins! Oh, it's such a good word. Because it makes me think of loincloth, but it also makes me think like perineum training at university. I've just up in behind you. Like,
yeah. Wow. No, absolutely.
Yeah. Did you grow
some
up
good
in Perth?
Hip hop or some. Yeah,
right. Okay. Who's got good hip hop at the moment?
Who? I don't know.
Well, like, what's a favourite? Because I remember even DJing at year 10 or year 11 high school social, and was like even then we were playing Ride My Pony.
Yeah.
I mean, we got in trouble, but because it was a Catholic school, but you still do it.
But I totally know that feeling. I've been the same, having been in the studio for 4 or 5 weeks with awesome dancers.
All I know,
I'm doing right now is
out.
Dancing.
Yes. Like, oh, I must get up and demonstrate something.
Yeah.
Just here, let me have a go. I'm working on a lot of duet stuff as well. And so there's like this, what it would be? Like a chess game, you know, a speed chess game, and they've got the timer button.
Yeah.
It's like that. And in the choreography and my relationship to it and my embodiment of it, I should say. And so I'd make up the duet with, say, do you know Adelina?
Yeah.
Okay, so I really enjoyed dancing with her, and so we'll make up a duet or whatever, and it's embodied, and we pass it on to other bodies. And then as it gets worked and sculpted, say, spatially or whatever, and with more couples, there's like, I've pressed that buzzer, and now it's slipping away from my embodiment until I have to engage with it again.
Yeah.
And so it's like coming back to it. What needs to happen? Someone,
body,
do the jump or do the lift. I'll be this person. You be that person and go. And it doesn't quite work. I got it. Cause there's like, there's a choreographing from the loins. Oh shit. No, that is cool. I wanted to ask you about something.
Go
for it. What was it? Satisfaction. Because I saw Borderline twice.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt full, like I felt contented. Like I came hungry and I was satisfied after the first 20 minutes. And I wonder if it's like that in a lot of shows. If like 20 minutes is absolutely actually a nice time.
I think about that a lot, that dance doesn't belong in an hour format.
Yeah.
And we make it all the time. And that's sort of why I made a three-act show. Because I was considering that.
Mm.
But I don't... I think because they sit next to each other and everyone's sitting in one... And we made them connected in a way because the sound carried across.
Mm.
That, and of course they were connected across themes. But for me, they were very different aesthetically, yeah, as three distinct sections. And I had thought that that might combat that dilemma that I have, that I don't know that dance... I mean, some dance does, but most dance that I really enjoy is about 20 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
And my ideas often last about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So that's finished, good,
yeah,
done.
I used to do these impro, like, I don't know, looping musical improvisation sessions with another dancer called Dean Cross, and like always we're wrapping up at 14 minutes.
Yeah.
Somehow that's how long an idea took to grow and become and then find a resolution.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm all for people putting, you know, a dance is whatever, however long you want it to be, and that's cool.
But,
and mine happened to be, it happened to be an hour this time, but I didn't want to hold.
But I imagine
like,
a presenter needs an evening.
Yeah, people buy a ticket, they expect a certain
time
frame. Or...
Imagine if it was like, it was sold as the bonus of the show was that it's only 20 minutes. It's okay. But maybe it's like that deal with it, like the Coke cans now. They can't make them any more expensive, so they're making them smaller.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Maybe it'll get to that point where we can't make dance tickets any more expensive because $30 is kind of maxing out.
Yeah.
So we just make it shorter. Maybe.
Yeah.
So do you feel like you had there was a triple bill and they just all happened to be choreographed by you?
No. Oh. No, they were all considered to be part of one work, absolutely.
Mm. Mm.
But I was interested in experimenting with three very different aesthetics, or that they could sit on their own.
Mm.
But they belong, you know, but they talked together if you watch them one after the other.
Mm.
I don't know how successful I was in that, but that was the attempt, you know.
How do you know? How do you know if you know? That's a real question.
I don't think you ever know.
Oh, shit.
I don't, sometimes you know more. I don't know if you know. I know.
That's so profound.
I mean, I'd like to think that my problem is that I... worry too much about other people's opinions of it, you know, like as much as I want to think that if I'm happy with it, I'm happy with it, but I'm not, because I'm not making dance for me. So I always am concerned about what the audience takes away or feels, or
how about the dancers, like how much is it about them?
Normally in all other works I would say it isn't about them. But in this case, I feel like it was different with Borderline. Like,
yeah. Well, that's exciting.
Well, in that we had a really great time in the studio for 4 weeks. And that felt really good. All of us felt like we were working together towards this thing, environment that we don't often get as independents in Perth.
Mm.
And I felt like the dancers were really appreciative that I'd been able to create that environment for them.
Mm.
And I was really appreciative of all their energy that they were offering to me to make this thing, you know. So in a way, this particular experience was a lot for us, I think, as dancers and makers. But I didn't set out with that intention. I set out, I wanted to make work. I needed a lot of people, you know. But those environments are important, I think, to keep us all going and engaged and... skilling up and nourished and which I hadn't really thought a lot about before, I guess.
What about movement aesthetic? Do you feel like this?
Yeah.
Hi, Ben.
Ben. Hey, Matt. Ben.
I met you the other night.
Yeah, probably just before you placed that Judah bombed.
That's right. Bombed. Yeah. Oh, you got Isabel.
We're having a little.
It's all right.
A profound conversation.
It's profundity unraveled. Feel free to join in.
No, no thanks. I'll leave you to it.
See ya.
I'll come and say hello when you're finished.
Okay.
Okay. Do you feel like the movement of the piece came out of your noise? Or do you feel like there's a
border, somewhere, borderline. fun. There is a line somewhere, you know. Mm. Certainly, I feel like it came from me initially, but then at some point, I always, in my process, hand it over.
Yeah.
Or engage them to bring things back and have and sort of allow that to shift the work completely. But I'm interested in working that way as opposed to holding on to the aesthetic the whole time. Like, I'm not in there teaching phrases to people. That doesn't really interest me, and I don't think that makes the best work for me, you know.
But in the same time, you want to somehow keep it within the restrictions of what is not going to offend you.
Absolutely,
is way hard.
Yeah. I guess I almost like it starts off really mine and then I let it go. Then in the end I start pulling it back into mine. I start saying that's got to go, or that has to be more like this.
That's jarring.
Yeah.
Get that out of there. Because from knowing some of those dancers a little bit physically, from being in the studio or composing shows that they're on, there was a move, say, at one point that I saw Ella do that I know comes from Tyrone's body. And I thought that was very interesting. It made me think about the, well, not distribution, almost like, what is it called when you, dilution, like, that it's not that you have movement that then you distribute into other people's bodies in the ensemble that you're performing in, but that whatever it is that you bring dilutes through the cast.
Absolutely.
And they dilute into you, and there's just,
and the phrases dilute. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Dilution. Well, sometimes maybe refinement. Dilution.
Yeah. Oh, are you pulling back some kind of anchoring to a relevance?
Yeah.
But then I was thinking a lot about this this aesthetic of, like, articulated torsos and pelvises, and like then letting a limb flick out and then a crump back in and that kind of thing, and wondering if that had come from tasks, and if it had or hadn't, like if it was in the dancers' bodies before they got to you, where it had come from. And I was wondering about this, and I had this whole theory that I made up. So basically, I'm gonna propose it, and I want you to undermine it.
Okay.
I'm gonna propose that independent choreographers, because they can't work with an ensemble for a long time, are somehow inheriting the aesthetic of the dancers they choose to work with, which is why you choose to work with them a lot of the time. But quite often, the reason that aesthetic is in that dancer's body is because of the training that they've been doing, not necessarily the other shows that they've been doing. And then, so I formed this entire theory that is, it's the structures that are providing the training, or the workshops, or the intensives, or things like that, that are actually setting the movement aesthetic of an independent dance scene within a region.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong about
Definitely
that.
Definitely to a degree. I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is.
No, I don't know either.
But it's interesting. I mean, I was thinking about I don't know. Because there are some things in that work that I just let people own, or, you know, Tyrone, for example, has a very different physicality to me personally.
Yeah.
And sometimes in a task he'd come up with something that I would never have thought to put in the work. And if I felt like it really suited it, I'd be like, yeah, absolutely, grab hold of that. But it's not, it certainly did not come from my body. But then there are other things, but I certainly had a relationship to it, you know, like it had to connect with me, whatever that move or physicality was. If it didn't, then I'd get rid of it.
Yeah.
But how dancers are trained, yeah. It's interesting because I, like aesthetically or even physically, this work for me is very different to the one I made last year, wintering. And so I can't, but you know, Jenny was in that work and this work, so it's not necessarily that her movement has, if you're saying the movement comes from the, or the dancers inform what's made, I don't know.
Yeah.
They definitely inform it.
Oh, of course they, because it's just a simple logistic question.
Yeah.
So,
certainly, I think communities create an aesthetic. You know, Melbourne has an aesthetic. Perth has an aesthetic. Like, it's it's inevitable, and that comes from training and classes and for sure.
Because I have this blue sky kind of dream, which is that if you can have long enough with an ensemble, then you can completely create your own aesthetic rather than working with. Like walking into a kitchen, okay, what's in the pantry? And then trying to pull from that.
Absolutely. Yeah, and just working every day rigorously. Yeah, you know, we just don't get that.
No.
Our brains are working every day, but if we're not in the studio, our bodies aren't.
I had this, studio development recently, and there's only two of us, and we were equally co-creators, but also performers in the piece. And there was a few times when we were like at the desk watching footage or whatever, and one of us had an idea and was going to get up and demonstrate, and there was somehow felt like a monumental switch to walk onto the other side of the desk into the studio space, and then suddenly instead of saying, oh, maybe this, but I don't really know, your body was saying this and this and this, and how stupid do I feel right now? I don't know, I felt like I was grinding the gearbox.
Yeah.
Switching from that. That's not relevant at all to what we're discussing. But it did just remind me.
It is relevant. It is relevant, I think, as to how active you enter into a studio space when you're rehearsing with people. Because I feel like I went through a period, particularly because I had quite a bad back injury for a few years, where I really started sitting back.
Uh-huh.
And more recently, I've started re-engaging in the physicality of being in the studio.
Yeah.
And that it's a very different experience. But it is hard when you're sitting there, you're in that space, and then you have an idea about what that physicality is, but you're not in your body. You haven't done class that morning and you're not. Like,
it's whack. It feels a little bit like, okay, you're a chef and you need a taste test. And you can't taste test with your eyes. You need to try it on somehow.
Yeah.
And just, it's not an instant thing. You can't just dip it in the soup. Okay, good.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. Clicking in, being ready to feel stupid, being ready to fail in front of dancers that are far better dancers than I am.
Yeah. That you're in charge of it. Somehow
you're leading.
Totally.
Yeah. What a privilege.
Yeah.
And what's the, I'm really interested in about this, like, that it was you and Ben that made it, and how you sort that out.
Yeah.
Like, you have a discussion, and then you both have an idea, and it's heads or tails, and that's it.
Within the collaborative process.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that was the first time we really collaborated
much
more equally. Like, I've invited Ben to make sound for a lot of my work.
But you're the boss.
And I've been the boss, yeah.
Yeah.
And then we decided, we did a residency in Japan for 3 months and decided we would go in collaboratively and try and start this thing. So actually the seeds of this work started there, but it was very different. So the very beginnings of the work were very equal in terms of themes and what we brought out, but we actually found each other sort of like slowing the process down so much because we were trying to have equal say in everything. And realised that was not going to produce... we weren't going to produce anything that way. So then we started to open it up a bit more, I think, and I would go and push some of those ideas out into movement, and Ben would push it into sound, and then we'd share it and go, what do you think of that? And then we'd sort of feed each other's ideas a bit more. So, and I think it worked a lot better when we created that space.
That's cool.
But then, you know, but then it became sort of, in a way, a dance work in a theatre space, and so I sort of started to, I just took charge because that's the world that I know and is my world. And but conceptually, Ben was always in there sort of throwing stuff in, which sometimes is really awesome and sometimes is really confronting for me, because all of a sudden I had this other opinion that thought completely differently to where I wanted to take something, and that was challenge. Yeah, it was challenging because I'd never had that before, because I'd always made a work and it was mine and I owned each decision.
Mm.
In some ways, not owning each decision is really liberating, and in some ways it also made it hard to,
because you still have to stand
keep
by
the
them.
Piece together. Yeah, yeah, you still have to stand by them, and you have to feel comfortable with them, and that's what I realised. If I didn't feel comfortable with a decision, how did I keep pushing forwards?
So trust.
Interesting. Yeah. Trust that the other person's decision has merit, and
it's this idea of collaborating that I got from Angela Goh, and she says that actually it's just about picking the right person, and then trusting them completely.
Interesting. I'm really interested in collaborations because they make or break something, you know, like and whether, you know, and collaborations and that may be equal in this sense that Ben and I were, but also, you know, who you choose as your costume designer or your lighting designer, because that is a collaboration, although often in the dance world the choreographer is driving it to a degree. But I think, and they take time to develop. Like, you know, once I find a person that really works, that I feel like we connect on, I just try and find them each time, because it takes so long to build that understanding up, I reckon.
And then there are things, well, I don't know about you, I personally feel, say, there are parts that I can not that I'm any more or less qualified, but I somehow, you know, some people can smell a wine and they can tell you all this crazy shit that's in it, they can sense. I can't, and I feel like that about, say, costume. Like, I can smell if it's is vinegar or wine, but I can't tell you that it's got a nutty aroma.
I'm absolutely the same. Whereas sound, I'm much more in tune with it and integrated, interested in it. So I feel
and
like
you can feel it.
In your loins.
In your loins. And so then that's a whole different version of trust, which is not a trust where you bring the idea into your own mind and try it on, which is a trust that you and your collaborator understand where you're both going, and then you say, like, somehow
I trust you.
Do it.
Totally.
Like, do the thing that I'm doing, but I'll do it in the movement. You do it in the costume. So weird. And then there's about, like, which is serving which, and can, like, actually, will it be, will your piece be stronger if the costume is so incredible that you drop half of that curry and let us engage with the fact that these are not just the bodies that we see every day on the street, but they are somehow augmented or accentuated or theaterized. I sometimes worry about being very conservative. I really worry about, okay, at uni, what we did was there was a choreographer and we were the dancers, and then we made shit and then we rehearsed it till it was good, and we didn't die, and then we performed it. And I really worry about going into every
process
product based process, which is almost all of them.
That's why I've loved doing lots of residencies, like quite a bit of resident, you know, in different countries for that reason, because often they're not product focused.
So how do you keep, I would say, like, so basically it's the cruising version. Like, some people go on a trip and they're going from A to B and they know where they need to get, and some people just like do the the main strip with their subwoofers blaring. So like the residency is the subwoofer's main strip, isn't it? It's like arm out the window,
maybe
just
yeah.
enjoying the ride.
Yeah, just enjoying the ride.
Having
yeah,
people
absolutely.
Look at you every
enjoying
now and again.
Yeah.
And what kind of car are you? What kind of car are you driving?
Oh, I don't know my cars. Certainly not the one I'm driving right now.
Okay. Is it old and classic or is it like new, shiny?
Yeah, it's old and classic.
Oh, okay. Is it one of those like really wide, large, heavy, say, American muscle cars, or is it more like the dainty British cars that like zip?
Yeah, it would be dainty British.
Oh yeah, cool.
Old classic. That's what it'd be. I'm not sure if that goes with the subwoofer.
Yeah.
But I'll take it.
Yeah, take it. Just take it. Some kind of Aston Martin. Or something.
Yeah, but what we're doing isn't really conservative. But bloody, we're in the studio moving.
Yeah.
I totally get your
no,
concerns,
I know
but
what
I've
you
been
mean.
Thinking about dance lately. You know, because I always question.
Maybe it's
if being in the dance world is the best place for my energy to be.
I was say, for my exceptional intellect.
No. For what I, you know, if it's the best
energy.
Place.
No, you're
for
right.
My
life
energy.
Force.
Yeah.
You've only got so much of it.
Yeah.
You need to channel it. Yeah.
Dance is pretty, and I don't know, partly because it's not so unconservative that it's an interesting place to put your energy, but also, I don't think of dance as conservative.
Hmm.
There's really conservative processes in which we work to produce the work.
Maybe I'm only thinking about process. But then you want to make a good work as well.
Yeah.
And like you want a kick-ass process that somehow transcends those 4 weeks of your life and their lives and everybody else.
Exactly.
But you also need to deliver so that you can somehow like invite an audience into a very real space and time and then shift it into a different feeling of...
Yep. How do we make that ultimate work?
The ultimate. I wonder about that. I think that's why we're not transposing our live dance into TVs or TV shows or films so much. Like, you don't flick over to Channel 7 and there's a dance performance on just before Home Improvement 2 or something rerun. Home Improvement.
That's what
Home
makes
Alone.
Me think it's not conservative.
Yeah. Right.
That reason. It's an alternative storytelling to the mainstream. And that's its power, but also its weakness, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's a seduction, isn't there? For those interested, there's a seduction. Maybe it's like a yoga class. You do yoga by yourself, and you're like, okay, I'm doing the cross training. But if you go and do it with a group of people, and you get sweaty, and then...
Yeah.
You get in that shavasana and you are enlightened.
Yeah.
And all you've done is the same thing you could do by yourself, but because you've got that group of people together and somehow... Yeah, it's like the thing that you've done during that period is not the choreography of passing through the poses. That's been... Like the... That's been what you can hang everything else on. But you need to do it to get to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Having that moment where there's like a structured improvisation session in this piece that I'm making, and I worked out that the choreography is not step, listen, step, step, turn, listen, adjust the power play, but that is the choreography that you need to do so that the choreography of connect with somebody and expand your kinesphere so that you become part of the same dancing bubble, no matter how close or far away you are. So that can happen. You need to do step, stop. Step, look, stop, breathe.
Yeah.
It's just a funny thing. You think that you've got something and then you break it down, you reduce it, and then you realize that like you can't do the thing to do the thing. You need to do all the other things. To facilitate the thing.
That's profound, Matt.
Oh,
you can't do the thing to do the thing. To do the other things to do the thing.
Well.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, that makes sense.
It's your job as a facilitator.
It's the downward dog
process.
In order to get to the spiritual enlightenment.
I know. In order to transcend the physical body, you must bend in half.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But it makes sense.
Yeah, it makes total sense. There's like that... There's a little bit, there's this scientific idea that the really exciting breakthroughs in science are not when somebody tests something and then says, oh yeah, that was right, or oh no, I was wrong about that. So when they test something and they're, oh, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm always searching for those moments. I don't know. Right, well, I've ticked off my quota of profundity.
Oh, great.
That's on to you.
All the more to do more to do more.
All the more, yeah.
What's your question? What am I working on? Is that what your question was?
Basically, yeah. Like,
what are you wrestling with?
What are you busy with? Because it's been my experience. And the reason that... I'm just going to talk about me for a little bit longer.
Please do.
So... both my parents run their own businesses from my whole childhood. And so that means that it is always on. It is always them and they are always it. And so it feels a very natural thing to have gone into something where, though it is my profession, I live with it. And so I guess, what is the thing that you're taking to bed with you or bubbling up in the shower with you or... what are those things?
Well, having just come out of a creative process, I always come back to this headspace of, is dance the right place for me to be putting my energy? How I said earlier, I guess, in a nutshell. Because dance has always been a part of me instinctually, you know, like I was making up dances on my back lawn when I was 4 before I even went to dance class. You know, I didn't really do dance class till I was much older, but I've always been dancing in my body. So I guess I came to that instinctually. But I've also always been really concerned or have great care for the environment, social, political, ecological issues and kind of the crises that I feel like we're facing today. And when I look at as a human in the world who has concerns with those things, I think about where is it that I could affect the most change. And I always come back to culture and cultural shifts, because for me, science, we have science, we're not listening. We even have some technological solutions like renewable energy and we're not taking them on. What is slowing us down? And this, for me, it's our culture.
Ideology and culture.
Our ideology, our values, our ethics, our stories we tell ourselves or don't tell ourselves. Don't let ourselves hear. Exactly. So for me, then, art is a great place to be. On a good day, I think art is a great place to be.
Yeah.
As I go, well, if I need to shift the culture, then art is what is telling our stories or imagining new ones or... So being an artist, maybe I have a lot of power in that place, or maybe I can create change. But then I also feel very frustrated when I do, you know. So then I started making work, dance work, about issues of our time, issues that concern me. For me, that was marrying those two things for me, like instinctual passion for dance and knowledge of the body and this desire to be contributing in some way to what I think is a better world, I guess. It's making work that is heavily embedded in themes about or issues of our time. But then I work my ass off for 5 weeks, get this work up in the theatre, people come and see it, they walk out, they judge it, they go home. And I wonder if that's actually the right place to put my energy or not. I don't, you know. So I always get to the end of season feeling really exhausted and questioning that sort of that theory that holds me in this art, in this world, continuing to do what I do every day. And then when I actually get the chance to put a work out there, I always feel unsure if its impact is enough. But I think anyone working in any field probably feels like that in what they're doing. You know, a scientist trying to make breakthroughs in some way probably feels frustrated with how slow their progress is. And you can't always see the results directly. and
or even in your life.
And shifting a culture is not about one person making a work that's going to change people. I know no, that. It is,
and that's your responsibility.
It's baby steps, and it's just plugging away and putting new ideas out there. Or, and, you know, I understand that that's how culture shifts. But I want more.
Imagine if our festivals and our get-togethers were much more like... I don't know what it's called over here, like summer days or something, or these huge festivals that people get together so that they can be in a seething mass of humanity. Imagine if they were much more like the parades of, say, the small country town parades, where there's a flatbed truck and then there's somebody's niece in an orange costume.
Totally.
It's all paper mache.
Totally.
And they're just loving it. And there's a band, and you know half the people in the band because they serve you at the shop or whatever, and then nobody is the performer or the artist of that community. And not to say that I think everybody needs to have other jobs. what I'm meaning to say is that
there should be more occasions like that.
The one, like, because I'm very busy thinking about the commodification of community, rather than of culture, like the shift of living in a market society rather than a society that has a whole bunch of shit going on, social and cultural and even religious, but then also market. And that there are things that the market doesn't touch in a setup like that, but there are, like, all of our all of our get-togethers, so that we can have these transcendent mass experiences, are commodified to the point of when no one's had to work up to it. They can just buy the ticket and rock up.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I do quite a bit of community arts work, and often that is where I feel most fulfilled, where I feel like those two worlds for me align, because you see that community and that people are connecting with ideas, and they're thinking about ideas, but through creativity and making something, and they perform it, and you know everyone. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So the happiness index for a city somehow gives a number to the cost, the financial cost of bringing everybody together to celebrate the fact that they're all living together.
Yeah. I think that's why I'm really... often my favourite artwork is actually like live art practice, where there is often an element of engagement with people, or the performance is happening in, not in a theatre where only your dance audience goes to watch, you know, but it feels much more connected with the world. And I wonder if that's partly why I am attracted to that, the work that gets created in that field, is for those reasons.
In Darwin, there's a homeless dude who has a swag and this huge beard and a hat, and he must be maybe 40 or 50, and every now and again you'll see him at different markets reciting bush poetry, and I think a lot of it he's written because of seeing him, like, chilling, writing things down. And by all other accounts, he's quite homeless and crazy, and but I had this experience where I was sitting very much enjoying the absurdity of this thing that doesn't live anymore. Somehow it's part of history. Bush poetry and the verbal performance of it is part of history. And this thing was alive. And for some people, it was just such a nuisance that he was sprouting all this stuff and standing on the footpath. And I was reveling in it. And I just wonder if no matter how good the thing is that we make, actually we got to spend more time on facilitating the wonderment of the people that are there to see it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, what goes around that experience, or where is that experience existing for? Yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
But on the other hand, I really loved making some kick-ass dance and putting it to really banging tracks and having lights that accentuate all that shit, and just seeing... It's like the Andre Rieu concert. Like, we've heard the songs, but he's got 20 more violinists than the last time I heard the songs, and there's ice and there's people skating and shit.
Yeah.
And ultimately, he's a violinist as well. He's not doing anything new or different. He's just a grand scale. He's like the Kiss, the band of like that world.
World. Yeah.
Yeah. And so there's that part of performance that is really seductive to me as well.
Absolutely.
But yeah, that's so far away from humanizing some kind of interaction that can shift a person.
Yes. Yeah.
Unless it's not.
Some days I say yes, and some days I say no, because like when I think about when I first got addicted to this world, it was as a young person going to the theatre and seeing this liveness of it, and this body moving, and that shifted me as a human, you know. So that gives me hope, but then I'm absolutely on the other side with you.
I remember often discussing, going,
I need to be in the world doing this, not in a black box.
Yeah. But because we're in the black box, we're not in the world doing all the other shit.
Yeah.
Like we're not getting paid to translate our life force into emails because we're in a black box. We're busy. We've got better shit to do. Yeah. That's what I think sometimes as well. But I remember speaking with Anthony Hamilton about this at one point about community arts, and he was talking about the fact that the weekend football teams and the dads that do the coaching and everything, that is hugely important in those communities.
Yeah.
But what gets those communities somehow excited and brings them together are these epitomous players that are reaching, that are like pushing how far and how high it can be. And so both of them are nourishing ongoing discussion.
Absolutely. And that's why I say my question is dance the best place for me to put my energy? Because I think art needs to be many things, and it needs to be at a community level. It needs to be those people pushing the really abstract, unusual,
And then it also needs to be just someone who's celebrated for being awesome at something. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It needs to be all those things.
Yeah.
And my question is more of a personal one of like,
yeah,
is it the best place for me?
Yeah. Well, what would you do instead? I would probably be in telecommunications.
Would you?
Yeah.
I'd be in the sustainability field. Yeah, occasionally, right. I try to leave and go there.
I've knocked on the door and they're like, no jobs, no jobs.
I just keep getting sucked back. Dance keeps sucking me back. Every time it knows I'm close to exiting, it's like, lures me back in.
After much hard work on your behalf, Dance suddenly lures you back in. I understand.
Has a way of doing it.
Yeah.
What's Nat Curcio's recent workshop thing, Strange Attractor? I think it's a great title.
Yeah.
For dance, for a conversation about dance, it is a strange attractor.
Mm-hmm. How will you know if you've done anything with your life force?
You probably won't, but by the time you're 80, you'll be more, like, at peace with all the more Buddhist philosophies that, to have loved and all those things.
Yeah.
And sometimes I try to embrace those simple things in life, but then the ambitious part of me is like, but I want more! And you'll probably never know. Most of the famous people probably weren't famous until they were dead anyway. It's not that I want to be famous, but, people that have...
Validated.
Been validated as having done something significant.
Not even acknowledged, but appreciated. Somehow your life force has manifested into something that is appreciated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, lucky we're not in the running for any kind of Nobel Peace Prize, because that almost always happens after they're dead.
Yep.
Oh, that's cool. I feel like profundity on both sides.
Yep. Yeah, great. Profundity. I would say questioning.
Questioning.
This is a bad time to do an interview for me, our post-show, because it's when all my questions come back
up. They bubble back up.
They bubble back up. I suppress them in while I make something, and then they bubble back up at the end.
I think some people have that idea about children, and that it will distract them enough from their own relationship.
What do you mean?
Like the child is the show.
Yeah, right.
And the...
They won't have to question anything for a while.
Yeah. Do you think? Because maybe like there is some masochistic side of getting a show together.
Yeah.
Where you want to be exorcised. Everything. And if you weren't, you would just be walking around just as frustrated and lost and like directionless as I don't know about it. That like my teenage self was. It's like, okay, I've got some life force here, and it needs to go somewhere. And so, yeah, you find something, you're like, what is... I think that's why people climb mountains.
Yeah, it's certainly a human craving. Like,
I need to do something that is just going to... Yeah, not even validate, but consume me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in this case, I need about 8 other people...
Yeah.
And a huge amount of huge sound system, and then I need hundreds of people to come and watch the thing that has consumed me. Whoa, it's kind of needy, isn't it? But do you feel that? Do you get consumed in the process and then just savor that? Savor being so consumed.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I do enjoy it. Sort of savor. I don't know if I savor it or I've ever described it as that before.
Yeah,
but absolutely, I do really enjoy it. But it's also hard work. Really hard work.
Do you ever have those moments that I imagine people have when they're doing crosswords or finder words where they're staring at it and they're staring at it and then they go away and they come back and they're just... And then I don't know what happens. You have a conversation with your mom or something, or you get a parking ticket or something happens, and then different chemicals just go throughout your brain, and then you glance at this thing again and the word just boom.
Yes, absolutely.
And then there's a hit.
That's what we work for.
That's what we work for. We work for that chemical hit of like, got it.
Yes.
Everyone, I've got it. And then you shift that into place and then everything else falls apart. You're like, it's okay. Everyone, it's okay because this is it. This is the thing.
Yep. Absolutely. Very satisfying moment. The elusive jigsaw like puzzle.
Knowing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird, isn't it? Because you... There's so many other things where you would have to quote or cite other people's publications so that you can prove that you know something.
Yeah.
And your knowing is somehow validated by the fact that you can cite that other people know it. That seems kind of slowing down to me. But yeah, somehow, yeah, if it takes like to try it on or, yeah.
Sometimes I find what's really interesting about that process is that it's actually only you that know. It's like this instinctual, and it's, and you go, that is the answer. But you're like, how does anyone... How do I know that's the answer? I don't even know how I know that's the answer.
Yeah. I think there are a lot of forms of intelligence.
Absolutely.
Within one body. Fighting or... Not fighting. I think there are multiple forms of intelligence and some are cultivated and some are not.
Yeah.
And I think the ones that are cultivated currently, because our world is so... written and literal,
absolutely,
are those things that can be translated into thinking through words. But then what's the thinking absolutely. Through
and that's again why I think dance is not conservative.
It's true. It's a revolution.
It's caring for all those other knowledges that are not given value today.
And that's like, that's really what's why I really like companies like Steps. Instead of trying to go like scattergun approach, they just pick a group of young people and then they treat them like abstract, able, creative adults.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to do a task, and it's going to be this. Come back to me with some dance. And they don't have any problem with it.
Yeah.
Because at that point, from like, I don't know, 7 to 12, or what, maybe even younger, their...
abstraction is still...
their abstraction is as strong as their literary.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Although, then, like, it's quite common for the literary to be given greater value because, just because of the, like, the Westminster system of when things are written, they are law, and we have contracts, and that is more important than what we've agreed on and things like that. If it's in writing.
Yeah.
And so it's really easy for dancers to get the bad end of that deal. Dancers especially, more than choreographers.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like a literary arm wrestle. Word to word, mind to mind.
Yeah.
But what do you... okay. But so now that you're not in a work... so when you're in the work, I don't know, I'm going to assume that you wake up and you've just had like an epiphany in your dream.
No. I don't have epiphanies in my dream.
Oh.
I dream about choreography every night, but I don't have epiphanies in the dream.
Even when you're not
in process? I have epiphanies. Morning is a good time for epiphanies. Yes. After woken up. After after I've woken up,
yeah.
Had a cup of tea or coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then it's time for epiphanies.
Epiphanies, come at me. I'm ready. Great.
Yeah.
And do you have to schedule it? Not schedule, like... but do you say no to things during that time so that you can be available to the epiphanies? I'm serious. It's a serious question.
Yeah, I'm getting better at it.
Some people
schedule
personal
training. The older I get,
training.
The more I do it, the better I get at knowing how to balance the right amount of time I need to balance and saying no to other stuff outside of it.
Yeah.
Like anything, you know, you practice it, you work it out a bit better. Without killing myself, you know. Like.
Yeah, practice to fatigue, but not to injury.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was listening to a podcast by OK Radio, and they were talking about, I think they were talking to Forsyth, and he was talking about going to that huge park in Berlin that used to be an airport that is not anymore, and just improvising in a straight line, because it's acres and acres of land, or kilometres of land even. Just improvising in a straight line as a way to get through all of the habits and the seduction and the known and get to the unknown and manifest that in space.
Beautiful image.
It's really beautiful, isn't it? This old dude just dancing in the park that heaps of people don't even know who he is or what he's doing. Do you feel the need for something like that? Or you just like have your tea, sit in the sun, wait?
I don't know. Oh, no. No, waiting doesn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
I need to have the music going or the video going or I need a book in front of me, actually. Mm-hmm. I need a pen in my hand, even if I'm not writing with it.
Mm-hmm.
Or I need to be in a studio walking in circles.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When my best ideas come, I think. So I'm ready to be physical, but actually usually I'm not physical. I'm just like pacing it out, thinking about it.
Yeah. Do you think, when you're talking about making dances up in the backyard and being four, do you think that comes from an enjoyment of performing, regardless of what it could be? Because I'm wondering about, like, the excellent thing about working in a team, especially if your responsibility within that team is to set the direction, is that it's a kind of performance, and that some people get a
kick out of it.
Not even a kick of like an indulgent, enjoyable kick, but a kick into the other gear of how they exist.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I can be me right now, I'm happy. But if I am me that is... has the responsibility for all of you or all of us, then I have to step up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So I wonder about introverts becoming choreographers. If, or like, I wonder how many eldest children who are usually lumped with the leadership because they've cultivated it by being put in charge of their younger siblings or whatever, if they end up being more choreographers, or if it's the youngest ones or the only children.
I'm a middle child.
You're right.
What does that say? And I'm not, and I am a bit of an introvert in many ways. Yeah, right. Life. Yeah.
Yeah, right. And what star sign are you?
Leo.
Oh, same. Radical. But in August or July?
August.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Hmm. So I'm an eldest child and a Leo, and but a July Leo, which is apparently more...
Subtle. Leo.
Oh, really?
Is it? I don't know. Oh, I thought you were going to tell me that you were more subtle.
I was really relying on your knowledge just then. I thought you were leading us in this discussion.
No.
Oh, shit.
I don't know. There you go. There's a survey for you.
Yeah. Yeah, but then, like, maybe it's easier if you only have one idea a day because you actually follow through with it.
Yeah, sure.
But if you have a lot, you're like, eh. Yeah, I don't know, I don't really feel it. I just wonder about them. Just wonder and then ask somebody their anecdotal evidence.
Yeah.
And then if it confirms, oh yeah, awesome. Then lay it down as fact to the whole world. Which is probably the difference between art and science, is that we're both asking questions, but one of us needs to back it up and one of us just knows.
Yeah.
Which is not always the case. There's definitely like scientists that have had ideas that everybody else shuns, and so they've had to try out those things on themselves and have ended up dying or succeeding, and then because they didn't have the support of the community, it didn't matter. No one was interested in listening to them anyway because it proved that they were all wrong.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
What would you... Okay, I have a weird question for you because that plane's flying over. If this was like one of those interviews that's on Qantas Radio...
Oh, yeah, that's
you know those
great.
Ones?
Yeah, nice visualization.
Yeah. And they're usually edited down to about 12 minutes or something. And it's all like, okay, how did you know that you when you were successful? Okay, and how did you capitalize on that and upscale that business model? I'm wondering... if you're on
you
Qantas Radio,
how capitalize and upscale my business model.
How are you going to upscale this business model of contemporary performance making? Oh shit! No, I wonder. I wonder what is the end goal? Because I think we can't escape when it comes to the word you're talking about before, ambition. Because somehow it's our ambition that's driving our restlessness and our need to produce. Just as if that's, I think that's probably cultural. And so in some way we can't escape the desire or the seduction to capitalize on an opportunity or to ask for the opportunity, then we may capitalize on it. And then I wonder towards what? And I've been wondering this because the few companies in the last few weeks are switching from having artistic directors to having executive directors who are admin people, who are producers.
Yeah.
And then they just get in.
Yeah.
And so even the visionary, like the position that was for the visionary, even that is becoming freelance.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, I don't feel like either of us have any questions in the doing of the now. We know what we need to do.
Yeah.
But as ambitious capitalists.
Yeah.
Which is just culturally ingrained.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think,
absolutely.
Where does that go?
It's a good question. I have for a few years now been quite exhausted or tired of independent life and of the short-termness of it, which is maybe this ambition thing of like apply for funding, I might or might not get it, and I get it, I do a development, and I apply for more funding, I might or might not get it. If I get it, I put the show on, you know, like, and then I start again, and I don't feel like there's any longevity there, or any, what's the word? There's a word I'm trying to think of. I don't know. There's no longevity, and I have been, you know, wondering what that means.
Accumulation of effort or something?
It's not accumulation, it's like,
building of legacy.
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 There's no legacy there, you know. And there's I think feel like it's a waste of energy, and that so much energy goes into this thing, but it doesn't build to anything. And so I have been thinking a lot about that lately, and what is the best format for that. And things and the ways people work are changing these days, so I don't know whether a traditional company structure is the right answer, but it's certainly something that I see as, you know, a model that allows that to be more sustained, a visionary. Yeah. So it's really concerning for me that we're losing that in the dance world overall.
Mm.
Because I feel like, for me personally, that's something that I think could hold together what I do for a period of time, you know. But I know times are changing and things are shifting, and whether that model is something else or should become something else, I don't know, but something about that stability of working every day with rigor in a studio with consistency that allows for much deeper work to be made and a legacy of work to be produced.
I have the hope that it will make for better work, for more vibrant work, but I think what that means is that much more of the development time and the rigor will happen on unpaid, unsupported time in the lead up to the opportunity.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, and there are great things about freelance world in that you are able to go and try new things and borrow new things, so you're always staying inspired and engaged.
Yeah.
I get that, but
yeah.
So that it's never stale. But it's like everything, you know, it's really like a more of a move to a capitalist culture, this loss of artistic directors or company structures, I think, because it's more about micro, you know, everyone micromanaging themselves and it all coming back to the individual instead of a group or an organisation caring for that community and that person.
It's like the democratisation of bureaucracy.
Yeah.
Let's be less bureaucratic and cut all the red tape, and you just do it all yourself. You do your own red tape.
Yeah.
Instead of getting rid of it.
Exactly.
Which has increased individuals' workload.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, which is whack. Because I don't know about you, but I need to switch between mind states. And some mind states are very fragile.
Yeah.
Which is why you work in a team with a producer. And so they're getting the calls from them.
Yeah, exactly.
Station or whatever.
In the middle of making it work.
Yeah.
You're probably the most
fragile. Yeah. Maybe it'll end up just being more dependent on unions. Because they're like, was the Fordist situation. I could be completely wrong about how I'm remembering this. But I read a book about like that there was the idea that you would get a job in a Ford factory and then you could work there for 40 years.
Yeah.
And solid. You were fully solid. You could move up within the factory, and then they started like mobilizing employment, so that was not necessarily set. Anybody could come in and out of anything at any time, and then they realized that they needed to protect the workers, and then unions formed.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And I'm wondering about that.
Whether we'll have a new backlash to this sort of mobilization that's going on,
or maybe it's a huge conspiracy.
Maybe it is.
Like, if you take away, if all of our public fear, public leaders, are suit wearers that push pens, then that is all we can aspire to, because we see no other alternative.
Yep. So what, you're going to become Prime Minister? Is that your answer?
That's the only answer.
Yep.
Prime Minister of Dance.
Done.
That job must be up soon. It can't be long. We can just take a people's vote. SMS your votes
in. We'll just make our own Prime Minister of Dance.
That's true. Yeah. And then bureaucracy just blooms all over again. just because of democracy.
Yeah.
And its slow process. Yeah. Yeah. There was an excellent, there was an event recently, I think, in Hamburg, and it was completely focused on how we can be together as large groups of people. Hmm. Not in a communist sense, but not in a socialist sense, but not in a democracy sense. And what are the...
What is the other?
Yeah, what is the other thing? Which is what I started working with the Link Company.
Yeah.
And moved away from. But also, what is even the physical tools that will help that? Like, if somebody is speaking and you agree and you want to support them in what they're speaking about and you clap, then it'll cut everybody off and means that they're hard to hear. And so they were discussing changing for that scenario the normal clap or the, like, the hearing person's clap into the deaf person's clap, which is just the showing of the palms. And so then the discussion can continue, and there was a choreography surrounding how to support the discussion.
Wow.
Without awesome. Interrupting the discussion. Yeah. And they had also, like, I was watching the live stream from Hamburg. It was maybe 2 a.m. here or something, and they had 3 minutes of silence together. Not in memorial or anything.
Probably one of the most powerful things we can do.
It's so true. It's true, actually. Because yeah. I'm going to jump way back to this other, like, the seduction of the show and the performer and the epitome of ability of the body. And in that as well, for me, is the sacredness or the reverence in unspoken experience that is shared.
Mm.
And I think that's the beauty in, like, I used to do army cadets, and that was for me the beauty in drill, or the beauty in service, or service in a religious sense, any kind of community gathering to go through some kind of ceremony, or the tea ceremony.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's like, let's get together. Let's not talk. Let's just do some things silently in each other's space.
Yeah.
And then put music on so it looks cool.
Yeah, so maybe dancers
can keep in time.
Maybe some silent dancing.
Yeah, but I also feel like that's been done.
Yeah.
Or, not that it's been done, but the idea has been proposed and presented, and now what we would need to do is make that silence count.
So I've got a question for you, man.
Yeah, hit me.
What do you see as the future of contemporary dance? Where is contemporary dance going? What's next in contemporary dance?
I think it'll try and be all the things that it's not for a little while, because I think that's what happens. There's a lot of yo-yos going on, and this is, like, purely from my, I'm reducing these concepts from my ignorance, because the less you know, the more certain you are.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
So I think there's a yo-yo bounce back effect where there will be a generation or so of choreographers who make the steps and put it on the dancers. And then those dancers will become maybe choreographers or makers and won't have practiced making, but now they're in the position to make, and they will task. And so when they task the dancers and the dancers get practice making and sculpting their own movement and then having their own opinions of, like, okay, I wouldn't put that there, but in this situation you're the choreographer, then that will move and they will become choreographers just with age, and they are now practiced at being discerning with their aesthetic and their movement choices, and they will put the movement on the dancers. I think it goes like this.
Yeah, right.
And I think I'm part of the generation of makers. Like, we want movement. The movement has often come through our bodies, and so we have some kind of, whether it's right or wrong, like, whether it's justified or not, we have some weird idea that we know the movement that needs to happen next, in the same way that you know the word that needs to happen next in a sentence, because you've practiced it. And then and so we'll be putting it on the dancers and working collaboratively. But then there's also, with the breakdown of the hierarchy of especially, like, the British inherited system of class hierarchy, I think. I hope we're trying to find a better mode of collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
Not a collaboration in which there is a grand vision and let's all serve it. Or not a collaboration in which it's communism, but some other mode. I think we're refining. I think there was like hierarchy and dictatorship or directatorship. And then that was boring. And so the people that came through, like, all right, what else is there? And they came up with collaboration. And I think we're getting better at it.
Mm.
And what I hope is the reason we're getting better at it is because the dancers are becoming more empowered. And they're being asked so much more of. Like, you'll have a run and the choreographer might say, what did you think?
Yeah.
Of
the
run, like, from inside, give me that information. So that's super exciting. I don't know about the rest of contemporary dance. I think there's a lot of... there's a fashion for dancers to be making performance art or visual art or collaborating with those people. And there's also a fashion for visual artists to be performing. And there's some kind of hip interest in choreography, and whether that's the choreography of a paintbrush or the choreography of, like, but it's that's that that choreographic investment and questions, they're all being asked from the rational and conceptual and mind-based investigation. And I, because the thing that makes me dance is the music. So profound. It is, yes, it is the music that makes me want to dance. That means that as much as I enjoy wrestling with the concepts, what I also want to do is wrestle with the meat that I carry around with me.
Mm-mm.
And wrestle with that surrender. Is like, there was a solo that Ella had in Borderline, and there was a moment where she stepped out, bounced back up, and then the foot came around, and you're just waiting, and she's waiting, and she knows that she can wait as long as she needs to because she has reached that level of execution within that framework of that choreography. And so you both just watch this thing, and then it happens. And to try and get there verbally or rationally would just be not interesting. It's not some kind of breakthrough idea that gives you that hit of realization of say that Einstein probably wrote on. It's much more experiential and primal. So I'm excited about that. Basically, I'm excited.
That's great. I'm glad you're excited about the future of contemporary dance.
But I also, I was trying for a long time to make up a new name.
Yeah, well, I feel a bit like that.
We've reached the point with contemporary dance, like big C, contemporary dance, where it's a noun, it's not an adjective, in the way that modern became a noun, postmodern became a noun. And we need an adjective rather than a noun. And that's the only thing that'll allow us to keep moving, because there's like, there's a thing, and then there's a questioning, and then a deconstruction. And then that gets set as a form, as a genre. Just like indie music used to be independent music.
Yeah.
And now it's a genre.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Something can sound like it or not.
Yeah.
And so I'm really excited to stick with the adjectives.
Yeah, if you come up with a good one, I'll start trying
they're
to promote
really
it.
They're all really bad. They're all super naff. Like, new dance, fresh dance. And it's almost like you can't have dance
new.
On the
you can't
end of
use
it.
The same as contemporary. It's
going to
get old.
It's going to get old.
Before it's new.
Modern and contemporary. Okay.
Modern, all those
modern,
things.
Postmodern, post-contemporary? Post-conceptual. You don't think that's a good one?
No.
Because.
Too abstract.
PC dance. I don't know. Do you know what? We probably need a word from another language.
Yeah, we probably do.
So that we are not lumping all of our shit onto it.
Yeah.
Which is the beauty of working in movement. And that's something, like, even composing music these days on a machine means that you need to name the file when you save it.
Mm.
And so every song you ever make has a name as soon as it is born.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whereas there's even, like, there must be songs on super famous records that are just called, like, the something something song, like the Tuesday afternoon song or something. And it's become, like, songs that stay as riffs and ideas, and they accidentally become way better or deteriorate because they're not held onto with such fidelity.
Maybe we need to open up our definition. So maybe we're just choreographers of dance.
Mm.
Maybe it's not contemporary dance.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. It's true. Imagine... Because I think there's not a problem with that artistically, but there's probably a problem with that in the market.
Marketing, yeah, sure, absolutely.
Yeah. Let's solve all the problems today. No.
Maybe in marketing it's a new dance.
Oh, shit. A new dance.
And we talk about it as dance.
What are they, what is the word these days for something that's futuristic? Because even the word sci-fi is often quite retro.
Feels like retro, doesn't it? Yeah.
Sci-fi is retro.
Futuristic.
Because it's not that I want to grasp at the future so much. I don't think that we need to be chasing that. But there's some, like... There's a competing... obligations, because I feel like our obligation is to the form in its existence as an adjective, to the form, and then our obligation is also to give people who are coming to see it some kind of handle that they can hold on to,
absolutely,
while we tussle and turn on a sea of crazy. And expectations have a lot to do with experience. That's my profundity. I'm out.
Yeah. Done.
Done.
Yes.
And so somehow it's more like... I was listening to someone talk about someone being masters of a certain language and talking about the fact that most of us, say, even... as Anglophones, we've been speaking English our whole lives. Speaking Australian our whole lives. And he was talking about that still we are not masters of the language that we are speaking. And so many people speak languages of which they have not yet mastered because they can't craft it in a way that will give what they want it to give. So it's almost like we need a program writer as well as a costume designer. Someone who is a master of this language who will give... the handles that is needed for the literary cultivated and the rational cultivated and the logically cultivated.
Mm. Yeah.
But then, you know, my favourite experience to have when I walk into a show is surrender.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah, and that's when you often have the best experiences, when you're ready and willing to surrender. But
you need to trust that the person you're surrendering to.
Yeah, you do. But you also need to be in the right headspace.
And yeah, it's true. Yeah, I was doing this workshop with Vander Cabus a few years ago.
Yeah.
And he was talking about the first 15 minutes of the work just being for the audience to arrive.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think the reason I found the first 20 minutes of Borderline so satisfying... or like the first, what would you call it? Triptych.
Yep, first act.
The first act.
Act like a ballet.
Great.
Act one.
The first act, act one. Because I could surrender to the craft.
Is that, I have a question though. Is that because it was the most contemporary dance section as we know it? Because all the dance industry, that's what they've said. First section, wow, great. And nothing about the other two. And yet the general public have engaged really well with the later two, which aren't your traditional crafted contemporary dance form. So I'm really interested in that.
Maybe there's an induction that we get into seeing the craft. And I imagine filmmakers will see a film and they will see the craft.
Yeah.
And that is what they're appreciating.
Yeah.
And maybe other people that are not inducted to seeing the craft will see the content.
Yeah, perhaps.
But if you're practicing, especially if you're making, you're practicing making decisions. And so a lot of it, probably until you're 80 and you've done that better to have loved and lost transition. But probably quite often it is experience, you're experiencing the craftsmanship in a what I would have done.
Headspace. Yeah, and you can't avoid that in your own field. Like, that's why we're huge critics of our own field for that very reason.
And also, I think a lot. I think a lot about, say, the third act. I really felt like the dancers were carrying it because it didn't have the musical build that was Hollywood blockbuster kind of satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
The music got to a point and then it was like, if you want to go further, the dancers have to take it from here. And so they did. And so what all 400 of us saw that night, what I saw was the dancers, and what I became engaged with was their humanity and their effort. But what I didn't get was the journey, the emotional ride
that
music just does for you.
Interesting.
Which is interesting. And I mean, ultimately, that's just about satisfaction. And that you can get right on board and see what's going on and experience. So what you're experiencing then is a little bit of like, it's almost there, it's almost it. And of course, then all you want is for it to be it until you back up and be like, it's not Die Hard 7. It doesn't need to...
Or does it?
But also, I mean, then the dissonance part was at the end. The part that felt like, as a viewer, I was completely supported in from lights and sound and movement was when I was fresh.
And
the part where I had to experience and enjoy tension between the elements, which I'm working on as well, that was after I'd already gotten 40 minutes of dance or half an hour of dance or something. So maybe, but then you don't like, but then also I was ready to go on that journey because I could see that in your position as a choreographer, you knew how to craft. Like, I'd already been reassured.
Right, yeah.
Through that first section.
Yeah, interesting.
And so I was ready for the other two. And this is, like, it's such a challenge when something is so linearly experienced.
Yeah.
That you can't just go, bam, that whole painting right there. This is all of it.
Yeah. Watch it for as long as you want, as little as you want.
Yeah, exactly.
And go.
But it's also the beauty of it as well. I feel very much when I'm making a show like somebody who's planning a surprise birthday party and like where all the cars should be parked and who needs to get there early and like when you can use the blender up until. It becomes, say, event management.
Yeah. I like that analogy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all you're trying to do is craft some kind of experience for somebody to have.
Yeah.
And so you think about how things need to happen in time. I'm like, no, we can't start with the cake.
Yeah.
I mean, we could start with the cake, but then the roast is not going to taste as good.
Yeah, totally.
Something like that. Or everyone will be hungry, so they'll get sick on the cream, and then want to drink to dance later.
The surprises are also good. It's a surprise birthday.
It's a surprise, exactly. But then what if they freak out? They've got a new pacemaker. I don't know if they can handle that. And the second act, like keeping in mind that it doesn't matter what I think.
No, it's nice to hear, though.
The second act... what did they have? They had... Each had imagery that was more literally grounded. Second and third act had more literally grounded imagery.
Yeah.
And I think there's a kick that someone gets from feeling like they get it.
Yeah.
And that's seducing. And then some people want to be subverted and some people want to see it completed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So many
so
wants.
So you can't really make a perfect work then because everyone wants different things.
No. But I think what you can make is the work that you need to make.
Yeah.
Because you can't always get what you want. But sometimes, if you try...
You just might get what you need.
You just might. But then there was also dissonance between the sound and the visuals in the second act for me where, like, the stuff flew out and nearly hit Laura. I was like, yeah. And Laura has this... giving over that is perfect for this situation.
Mm.
You're like, it could hit her and she would be the human on that stage being hit, not the invincible. And but then the sound effects that followed that kind of for me.
Yeah.
And made me think, okay, I heard the stuff actually hit the floor. Now I'm hearing the sound effects that you're doing to add to that. Are you taking me on like an immersive Foley experience that I should believe that there's shit still falling? Or, and I'm only thinking this now in words, because at the time, all I knew was like, hang on, there's still sound effects, but there's no more stuff.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And like there's snapshot images, like Laura standing, all the stuff on the floor, the arc of six dancers just being flung out, bam, one image, and then like and then there's these like transitions between images, and then the image emerges again. The second act felt like that to me, like image,
yeah, absolutely, yeah,
come down, let's find something else, an image that was very beautiful. But like part of the beauty was that we were watching the seams. It's like we were inspecting a house, but not with the lights on, just by holding the wall as we walked through it. Like, get to an edge, and okay, move along. Oh, this is a nice texture. And get to another edge, there's a doorway, there's a frame stepping through. Ah, this is a really nice texture. Which is a beautiful thing to have in the middle of a work, I think, because you've set up the groundswell of trust and inviting and surrender and craftsmanship, and then you're like, okay, have a look at some of these other things that I was looking at, which is super nice. But like there's so much more responsibility to desire after you do the kick-ass dance section, then you do some imagery sections, and then what about the dancers? And what about the musician? And then, like, what about the costumes? And there's a lot of, like, it should all be, if you're the driver, if you're the boss, I guess it's all following what you say. But then at the same time, you know that you want to realize, you want to capitalize on these resources.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
And I felt like there must have been parts in all of it for you where you're like, it would be different if I had another 4 weeks.
Absolutely.
I need to show you now.
This is what it is now.
This
is
what it is now.
This is the best I've got for you right now.
Yeah. Maybe it's not even the best. Maybe I had the best 2 weeks ago.
Maybe. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's just that thing, like, this piece that I'm making with Link Company, there is the battle as well between this music that builds in you a desire to see them fulfill it.
Mm.
And then not fulfilling it. And an audience could very simply just be like, so frustrated with that show.
Yeah.
Or, on the other hand, look back at themselves and see their own desire. And see their assumption that these young, talented, highly trained dancers are going to somehow fulfill or satisfy them through the, like, through putting their own bodies on the line.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it'd be much nicer. I would like that the audience sees their own desire rather than see somebody fulfill it in this work.
Yeah.
Or in that one section of this 20-minute work.
Yeah. Yeah, great.
But who knows? You can tell me.
I'll let you know.
Yeah. We can have a follow-up.
Seen my own desire or not. Yeah. No, that's a really lovely... not demand, but... audience.
Invitation?
Invitation.
I'd like to think it's an invitation. But I'm also, like, that comes from... we always are self-reflexive.
Yeah.
That I put something on and then I saw my own desire. And I thought, well, actually, what is the craziest thing for me to do right now? Like, fulfill it or resist it? Mm. And every run through, watch this person do this thing that is not the fulfillment of this song or of their costume or of their body. And know that I want something else. And then how can I light it and give them time to think about it so that the audience is reminded of us about their want?
Yeah. Good challenge.
Good challenge. Should we call it? Is it time?
Yeah, let's call it.
Let's call it. Hey, thanks.
Thank you.
I feel like we need to do a follow-up after my work.
Yeah, oh, I'll come and interview you for an hour.
Oh, really?
Yeah.